season. Scott Free up there with him, looking towards Raul Jimenez here, and what a start! Raul Jimenez with a fantastic finish inside 2.5 minutes, and Wolves hit the front with a marvelous goal.
Hey everybody, Cantina MX podcast up and running today. Thought it'd be cool to do a different intro today. My name is Jaime Landeros. I'm your host today, and joining me is Joel. Joel, how we doing today?
I'm doing good, man. And I saw that goal. I was fortunate to see it. It looked like Jimenez wasn't even trying, dude. He's gotten that confident. He's gotten that confident where he's like, you know, because he first times it. He's at the edge of the box. They send across. And it looks like, almost looks like a tap-in.
Yeah.
Which is like just, it takes a lot of skill and confidence to pull that off. You know, you usually want to just hammer those balls in. Because if the portero blocks it, he won't be able to contain it. And someone could score off of the rim, you know, off of the rebound.
Mm-hmm.
But he just put it in an angle, man. He was just, oof.
Yeah, the Premier League officially started on Friday, and we had to wait until today, Monday, to see Wolves play. And Raul Jimenez wasted no time. He scored the first goal of the game in 3 minutes. I mean, didn't even have a chance to sit down, man. Really happy for Raul Jimenez, just really going off of his last season. Are you able to hear me?
It looks like he stayed.
Yeah,
I could.
Okay. Just making sure. I was having sound issues, but yeah, go ahead.
Do you think there's still a possibility he leaves, or is this, you know, I'm staying at Wolves.
I would love to see a team try and pry Raul Jimenez off of Wolves' hands. I mean, there's no way he's leaving now that the season started. Even if they were to offer a ridiculous amount of money for Raul's services, you can't replace him. You know what I mean? He's their number one player. He's if he's not in the game, who's going to be scoring the goals? So I think that he's going to be at Wolves for another season.
Yeah, he's 29, so he still has a lot. He's already an histórico, you know, so that's good. I'd rather he stays in that club and is like a legend, because aside from, you know, he will be the third one pretty much, because we have Hugo Sanchez at Real Madrid, Marquez at Barcelona, and then, but I don't know if Marquez is considered, even though he was a big part of that. I don't know how much, you know, but Jimenez definitely will be, man. If he stays there at least 2 more years, he's going to be highly regarded for, you know, 20 years. People are still going to be talking about him.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's already working his way. I mean, with every goal that he scores for Wolves, it's like they're building the statue piece by piece. You know, he's probably up to his belly button right now. If he keeps going, they're going to have the whole statue ready for him by the time he leaves that club. I mean, he's already their top all-time goal scorer. So he's doing really good. And let me check to see who they play next. And while I'm pulling that up, we have a third guest. I think Cheekies is hiding over there. Cheekies, are you on? Crickets. he's drowning in victories. He has no way to talk right now. But it looks like Wolves will play Stoke City in the League Cup on Thursday, and then Man City on Monday, so we'll see how they do. Should be a pretty easy game against Stoke, but then Man City, oof, that's a tough one.
I could hear you.
Okay. So that's all the player abroad action that we'll be discussing today. There's a lot of stuff happening in the domestic league. Another week, another victory for Pumas.
Wait, Linus did play, right? He got a few minutes. So that's the only other guy that kind of...
Oh, wait, okay.
Well, I mean, abroad, there's...
Yeah.
And then what's his face? Chucky scored. Though I don't know if it's an amistoso, but he scored again.
It was a friendly,
He's pumped, but he's scoring now. And I think he put behind this, you know, his beef with Gattuso.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit unfortunate that he didn't leave. But who knows? Maybe this, like, sort of tough love that Gattuso has given him, maybe it's helped him grow as a player and as a person. And maybe he'll come back and do well with Napoli.
If that tough love works, Wilson, we're gonna have to send trophies to Napoli, man, at least for a preseason.
Well, we'll have to make sure he's cleared from his he had gassy problems, and that's why he didn't play against Necaxa, according to Chapis Herrera. Pumas beats Atletico San Luis 3-0. It was almost in the bag. You know, Atleti are not doing so well this season. And they continue their undefeated streak to 10 games. And Joel, I think you have some stats for us regarding their current run.
Yeah, well, they're basically just one more game from tying the record at 11. And it's going to be a tough match for them against León away. But if they just need a draw there, and then they face Necaxa at home, and Necaxa has been one of the other weak teams. So they could potentially have a new record.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's one of the things. But everything seems to be falling in order for Pumas. And it's, what is it, their 66th year? They're celebrating.
They just turned 66, so congrats to them. I don't know, I would have expected them to be like an older club. So I found that kind of interesting.
Because you're a youngster, that's why. You're a youngin'. Yeah, no, Pumas rose kind of quick the way they got considered grandes. But they do have some of their international titles here. They have, they did win a Copa Interamericana, which was, there used to be a cup between the winner of the CONCACAF Cup and the winner of the Libertadores. They used to have a one-off.
Wow.
And they won the Bernabeu.
Okay.
And they have 7 league titles. They got 1 second division championship, 1 Copa Mexico, 2 Campeón de Campeones, and 3 CONCACAF championships. So that's a pretty nice.
Not bad. And
nice vitrina that they added. I mean, and
66 years, you know, not bad.
We knock on an Atlas, and Atlas last championship was in 51. Pumas started like in the, you know, when Pumas came into the scene, it was like 10 years, about 10 years after. So, god dang.
Yeah, and they're also the only team that I can remember in recent time that has won the league back-to-back. I know León also did it. But
they were the first. Yeah. They were the first in Liguilla in short season.
Short season, yeah, when they switched to
under Liguilla. Hugo.
Hugo.
Meow. Under who?
Oh shit!
It's the Chiquis, you're here. From the Puma, dude. It's the meow from the puma.
The meow, not the roar.
The roar.
So here I got some interesting facts for you, Cheekies.
Yeah.
Here you go, man. They're undefeated, top of the table, 4 wins in a row, and all 4 they've scored at least 2 goals per game. They scored 3 against who is it? St. Louis. And here's the other thing. Dineno scored again. You know, the dude they found at the bargain bin. He's been one
the
of
bargain
the
bargain bin.
He's a bargain bin
at, of transfers. At Big Lots. They found him at Big Lots. He was on clearance.
They had like the 3 stickers where the price kept going down, and there, it's like in the
it's like when you go to Ross and you find an Argentina jersey.
It's like that. It's like that bin. You know, you walk in, there's like that bin, it's all clearance, and then it's just like a bunch of stuff in there, and you stick your hand in, and you're like, oh, all right, this is like 50 cents. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Here's another interesting fact for you, Chickies. Pumas right now has 20 goals. You know, they've scored 20 goals, and 9 of those goals have been on set plays or balón parado. So it, you know, I
almost
think
half.
This is, I would say credit to the coach, man. He's you know, working those set plays.
Well, so okay, so if you saw the one against St. Louis,
yeah,
Martin actually mentioned it. I think in the past 3 days, he said, okay, we're enjoying this streak that Pumas has, but it is sort of. Like, there's some fortune here. There's some, I won't say, I guess I can say it. There's a little bit of luck going on. The set piece that they scored yesterday against St. Louis was like a deflection, you know, in the box. So it was sort of like, it wasn't like the prettiest thing. Dineno scored, but it was sort of like a Chicharito bounce off your head type of goal. Like, it deflected off the goalkeeper and then bounced off like Dineno's leg or something and then went into the goal. And then San Luis had an own goal. Quiroga scored an own goal. So things are going Pumas' way, but this next game against
Leon.
Against Leon is going to be the test.
Yeah, right. Well, here's the thing though. When people look back at this streak, they're not going to remember those things. They're not going to remember how they got there. Oh, this goal was kind of like, eh. They're just going to think about the streak and how, you know, that was a good time for them. So I think right now, since we're actually experiencing it live, yeah, you know, you can be a little bit critical and all that, but I mean, they're on a crazy streak and sometimes their luck is involved with that, you know? So hats off to,
but Pumas. I also believe in that saying that you create your own luck.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't feel they're lucky. Just because the ball happened to bounce, you know, it bounced in their favor. I do think part of it is a lot of the work the coach has been doing.
Yeah, well, you're creating those opportunities, you know what I mean?
Yes.
To score those goals, you know? So it's like that in alone is considered success.
Yeah, and you've seen it before from Pumas, like in past seasons. Like not every season, but almost every season, Pumas has surprised and they've gone through stints of really good games.
But Chiki's 10.
Season, but the season before. Yeah, this is sort of like an outlier.
Yeah, because look, man, 10 games undefeated, the last 4 straight wins, each one with 2 or more goals. I mean, that's...
Like you guys never pay attention in previous years, though, man. Like
I no, I mean, I have... Today.
Pumas was at the top with Necaxa. Remember Necaxa, Pumas, and like some other like mid-table type of teams were all at the top at the very beginning of the season. And then like seasons before that, Pumas would go on a streak and like they would be.
But I think
they work very well with what they got, like the youth that they have. It's sort of like
you have
your Santos with, you know, they try to pride themselves on their youth and all that stuff. And then
Chiquis
been for a long time.
Chiquis is very cautious. Yeah, I do think that's probably one of their weakness. That's one of their weakness that they don't have like a big roster, you know. Like they'll have a couple really good players, and if those guys get injured, yeah, valió Mauser. So I do think that could happen. That's still like a possibility. But I mean, this is the other thing about having Liliani as coach, because he was working with the youth. So, and that's what Pumas is gonna depend on. So he knows where to pull from, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they got some good youth. They got like Mosso's been called up, and so he's like everyone likes him on the national team. So he's like one of their main.
They're like who?
He's always been Alan Mosso. He's like on the right side in the defense, and he's been like contributing on a lot of the scoring opportunities for Dineno. I think just this goal last night is when he helped out making a run, and so yeah, they got some good youth. Some top youth, and then there are foreigners, which are sort of like you say, like the bargain foreigners. Like, you know, Pumas doesn't have the big wallets and stuff, so they can't go out and get the Gignacs and all kinds of stuff like that. So, but when they pan out, it's looking good.
Yeah.
So really exciting match they'll have against León. They're tied in points with Cruz Azul. They both have 22, but because Pumas have two more goals, they have. The goal differential.
Three.
It's
actually, I think it's three.
It's telling me a goal difference of 12 versus 10. Cruz Azul has 10. But who knows? I might have had inaccurate information.
Wait, goal scored?
No, goal differential. So they've scored 20.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Cruz Azul scored.
I was just
17.
Looking at goals scored.
Yeah.
Not. I wasn't counting against.
Yeah.
So. Defense. Wait, just to put Pablo Mora on the. Today is the Puma Fat Day. They have one of the best defense as well.
They've only received 8. Cruz Azul, León have 7. So yeah, they're definitely up there as far as defense goes. Chivas also have only received 8 goals. So yeah, I mean that's something to take credit for. Yeah, so the León is in third place with 21 points, and then América in fourth with 20. So if the league was to end as of right now, those would be the ones that would have the bye week. And then Monterrey with 16, actually.
When América, hold on, América has 21 goals, so they're the most offensive team by one, just by one. So, I mean, Pumas is pretty well balanced, and you know, for other criticisms.
Oh yeah.
See, people seem to be ignoring that. I was listening to a preview, and I heard that something along the lines of a preview of the Clásico. I don't want to get ahead of right now, but they mentioned how. Chivas is packing an offensive punch, but they've only scored 10 goals, man.
I know.
That's half of what America has.
It took us like, I think it took us three or four games to get our first goal. So
if Chivas has a potent attack, I don't want to know what America has. They have 10,
yeah,
11 more goals.
Yeah, and I definitely want to do talk about the Clásico, but I kind of wanted to say that for a little bit later on the podcast.
Yes.
Before we go any further, actually, for those that don't know, we're on Anchor now, and people are now able to leave us voice messages, and we actually had a listener who listened to our last episode that would like to say a few things. Oh, wait, I don't know if you guys can hear
this. Message is for John Sutcliffe. I just want to ask him why he keeps contradicting himself on Matias saying these guys are making excuses. For his lack of success, and then at the same time he turns around and says, oh, but if he was at Tigres where they have a squad, he'd be successful. So I think that's contradictory in itself. Just something for him to think about. Peace out, bros.
that sounds like a profe.
That was directed at me. No, well, I was talking about as a coach. Mati, I'm saying, I know he's sucking it right now, and I know I've kind of gloated on it, but I don't think he's bad. I just don't think he's the type of coach that you could give him a sucky squad and then he's gonna turn it around. But I do think if you give him good players, I think he could at least he's shown that he could do better. That's my.
Yeah, pretty cool though. If you are listening and there's anything that you want to talk about, or maybe we said something on the podcast that rustled your feathers, feel free to leave us a message on our landing page on Anchor. It's pretty easy to do. But pretty cool, huh?
And we will answer them, man.
Yeah, and you'll be on the next episode, because
critiques welcome, man. We like, if we messed up, call us out, man. We don't shy from that.
So going over Jornada 10, Chivas were actually kicked it off on Friday. They played Necaxa in what was a shit show. Necaxa were a man down for majority of the match, and at one point they were actually leading Chivas 1-0. Chivas tied it 1-1, and then right at the end, literally like minute 93 with 59 seconds, Vega takes the ball and he puts it away, and we basically stole 3 points away from Necaxa, who are continuing to suck eggs at the bottom of the table with San Luis.
Yeah, Necaxa, really bad season. They have a -9 goal differential, and they only have 8 points. 8 points, man. That's one of those teams that they're like, I don't know. And you know, it goes up to 12, right? Repechaje is up to 12.
Yeah.
And right now, the repechaje team is Puebla, and they have 10 points. So
still.
It's what I said, man. You have to really try not to be in this repechaje, yeah, man.
It's harder to not qualify than it is to qualify. So
it just seems funny, man. I don't know if I like this, but
I have a little beef, okay? Because I was watching the game on TUDN, but apparently it was also on ESPN Español Deportes, and Alvarito Morales, he was calling the game and he was making fun of Chivas as the game was going on, and oh, look at Chivas, what a failure, they're gonna tie this game 1-1, and then that's when Vega scored, and then, you know, he shut up. But this guy,
he started talking about how
20 seconds
the ref added
estamos en el 94 minuto con 20 segundos. You know, he was just making an excuse that, like, oh, the referee basically blew the whistle after Chivas scored. Like, he gave him, like, another 20 seconds and stuff. But Alvaro Morales reminds me of, like, the Univision forums personified. Like, this guy is just a troll. And, I mean, I understand that, like, it's cool to be like a hater and, like, you know, that gets you more views and more likes, but, you know, you're a professional, you're working for ESPN. Do you have to be that blatantly biased? Like, what's up with that, man? And he's not even from Mexico. He's from Guatemala. Get out of here, man. Trash.
I think that's just, he went the Feitelson route, and I think he's become one of the main guys there. And I think it's been part of his persona now. Because I remember when he said, if Cruz Azul lose to America again, I'm a switch. Because that's what he was originally, a Cruz Azul fan. And they lost, I don't know if it was a final or just like a Clásico. And I remember he did this whole thing where he shows up with like a crown and like, hope I'm not mixing the days. But yeah, he made a big show about being Americanista, and then when they beat them in the final again, he egged it on more, saying how he's glad he switched and how he's now celebrating campeonatos and whatnot. But yeah, that came, I guess, with the package that now he could talk smack about Chivas. So now he's shilling for one of the biggest clubs and talking smack about the other big club. So is perfect, you know? I think it's more about being like an online, like not online, I'm saying online, like a TV personality than just giving the news. We could go back to like when Fiore did the Republica Deportiva, because there used to be some, like on TV, like on Channel 34, you would see like, I can't remember, but it was with Cantor and Longo, and they used to do the sports. And then Fiore did this thing where it was like, you know, with the senadoras and the girls and all that.
Oh, yeah. I remember those girls. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it sort of went away from just analytical to now it has to be a bit of like a clown show.
Yeah.
So, and I saw it the World Cup. One of the Mexico had puppets. They would do like puppets and they would talk. And then Televisa had the like hand puppet.
The hand with the eyes. Yeah.
And then, well, dude, the other one, which was it was funny though, but I still think it's like I still would. It was TV Azteca, and I remember they had Carlos Bianchi. They had him there as part of the panel for, I can't remember which World Cup. And one time they have in the table they had the clown.
Oh wow!
they had Broso. Broso was like, he had like, this guy's a comedian and he would play different characters, and one of his characters was El Payaso Broso. If it similar to like Homie the Clown, if you remember Homie the Clown, kinda in that style. Yeah. But I mean, this guy's is, you know, he had his very original, and so it was weird, man. It just seems surreal. You have Bianchi at the time, one of like the biggest coaches, dude. It's almost like having Pep Guardiola.
It's like
right
having
there.
A, you know, world class like coach, and you're just wasting his like, freaking time, man.
Well, right next to him, you have a fucking clown, dude. And it's like, it's like, what did I sign for, man?
He's like, I'm gonna fire my agent after this.
No, dude. I'm a fan of Alvaro though. I love that dude. And just the way he trolls like Pulido and Chivas, and even he trolls Pumas. But the way, like when he does his laugh, I was trying to find it for you so you could play it, but it's just of him laughing. Like he'll laugh and he'll pause, like be with a serious face, and then he'll laugh some more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a fan.
It's whatever. Chivas played their third game in 6 days. So two victories and a draw. Not too shabby for Vucetic. And you know what? He's starting to come out of this a genius. You know, he took out Toño. He put Godinho in the goalkeeping position. Unfortunately, that didn't fix the problem. It was...
he took out Toño, or did Toño take himself out with his butterfingers?
Yeah.
I was watching the game on Facebook Live, and one of the commentators said he had manos chaqueteras. I'm still laughing over that one.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But I do think Toño played himself out, man. He's been fumbling a few too many.
At this
point.
But
you know, real quick, Jaime, and it's something we've talked about here, about how like a lot of these Mexican players don't have that many games. And I analyzed this a while back, and I was talking with the Chivas del Norte guys, and these guys don't have that many. If you go look at both Toño and Gudiño, they don't have that many games. So, I mean, it's to be expected. This is how they get better. This is how they learn. Just playing and playing and playing, but they really don't. The one Chiva that's doing really good, he's at Pumas, that's Talavera. That guy's been,
yeah,
you know,
that guy's old,
very
as,
experienced.
Old as hell, though.
But I'm just saying, but I mean, they just need to keep playing. I mean, if
Toño's debuted in 2011, so I mean, he I don't think he has that excuse anymore. He went to the Olympics. He was like the backup goalkeeper. You know, so he's he's almost been in the game for 10 years, man. I mean, the fact that he hasn't had caps is sounds like a personal problem, you know. But yeah, he went from having 92 appearances with Chivas and then loaned out to Veracruz, León, Tijuana, didn't get much action, and then just recently, you know, at Cholos, he got some action. But yeah, I mean, this guy's been riding the pine for 10 years.
He did spend like the two loans. He had zero appearances here at León and Tijuana.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, and then he at Lobos Buap, he started playing again. But I would like to see more of those 92 appearances that he played with Chivas. But I think a lot of them are more recent.
Yeah.
From last season. So, but I mean, if you spread it out, it's still not that many games. Like year for year, do you know what I mean? Like it's not consistent.
Yeah,
it's not consistent. Like so, Gudiño was the one that was at Porto.
Porto B.
Where was he?
Yeah, he went to Porto B and 64 appearances. Then he got
yeah, and that's
pretty good. He got loaned out to Madeira, and then he went to
11, dude, but only 11 games. And yeah. Then two games with the
Cyprus,
Greek team.
Cyprus, yeah.
So, I mean, this is still a little bit, man. That's still, in the grand scheme of things, if he goes back to where like 2014, so 6 years, that's still a little bit.
Gudiño's career has been tragic because he went to Porto B and had a great, great time there. And then they ended up triggering his buy option, and that's when he permanently went to Porto, and then he just shit the bed with like stupid mistakes, and some people were even saying that he was throwing games away on purpose because some of the mistakes he was doing was really bad, and that's when he got loaned out to an even, you know, bit smaller club in Portugal, and then he went to Cyprus, and then Chivas just said, you know what, we need a goalkeeper, let's just bring him back. But yeah, he's been a little bit inconsistent and making a lot of mistakes. And at this point, who's our under 23 goalkeeper? Let's just promote him to the first team, man. At this point, I'm willing to take a risk on a newcomer.
I have faith in both of these guys. I just feel that they just need more playing time, and I do think one of them is gonna have to leave. Just because they're both at that age now that they should be playing consistently. You can't keep just benching one.
Do you think it was a mistake for switching out the goalkeeper against Necaxa, and then now we got a game against America and you don't know who's going to be starter? So do you think that might have been a mistake?
No, because I think that's why you have players like that, where it's like they're both competing for the spot. And so if you have like Toño that messed up, not just once, but like let's say he messed up in the last three games where he made big errors, then you just have to concede it to the next guy. And then it's his chance not to blow it. I mean, there's that risk where it's a big game coming up, but at the same time, you're not going to know if this guy's ready if you're not going to let him play those games.
Yeah, because now, you know, because I thought, okay, we're going to ride or die with Toño. But now that, you know, Gudiño got into the mix, now I'm not really sure who's going to be our goalkeeper against America. But I will say this, I rather have Toño for that big game because he has the experience. And despite, you know, his mistakes, I still rather have him in the back.
Yeah, well, let's see what Buse, let's see what the King Midas agrees on.
And
then whoever wins, they might send one out and then promote a youth. And if they both suck, they probably have to go buy an experienced keeper.
Yeah, which is, I think Chivas are actively looking for someone. I know Cota was a possibility.
Well, you think they are? Because, I mean, one thing's the media pushing for that, and another thing is, like, I don't think Peláez has said anything in regards. And, yeah, what? Cota was the one guy that...
They wanted to kind of, like, bring back. I think the problem is, like, you brought back Doño from loan, and you thought that this was going to create, like, competitiveness in the goalkeeping position, but then you realize that they're both really bad goalkeepers, so it's like, oh crap, you know, this is kind of backfired on us. Maybe we should probably option three and start, you know, looking for the problem is, again, and I mentioned this in the and I know this is going to be a problem in the future, is Ochoa's getting old, and we still do not have anybody standing out to replace him as the, you know, the goalkeeping starter for La Selección. And, you know, it's like we're not producing as many talented goalkeepers as we used to. You know what I mean? That used to be a position that was on lock, and you already knew who was going to be, you know, the next in kin. But now it's like, I don't know if there's maybe just been a culture change. You know, I'm sure a lot of kids growing up wanted to be a goalkeeper because of Jorge Campos. But now it's like, who knows? You know, maybe they were just not producing as many goalkeepers anymore. It's not so sought after as it used to be.
Yeah, well, they could always get pochos, man. They've got a bunch of kids here in the U.S. I know Chiquis will approve. He's still even with us.
He probably had some catnip, called it a night.
I can approve. I'll approve.
There is a Pocho actually making some pretty good strides in the MLS. Efrain Alvarez, I guess he had a really good showing for LA Galaxy in his last game. So yeah, I think he's... I don't know if he's decided which country he's going to play for, but I know he's eligible for USA or Mexico.
I thought he had played already with Mex.
Maybe. Probably.
And there's a goalkeeper too with the Galaxy. It's a Selección MX with the Galaxy too.
It looks like he is. He's played for the under 17 for Mexico, but I don't think he has officially made his like debut for the first. So he could still you know switch sides. I know Zlatan did an interview on one of those late night shows, and he actually brought him. He mentioned him. He's like, yeah, you know, you have this kid on your team who's like, he could be old enough to be your son. He's like, oh yeah, he's great. He's a Mexican player. And so, you know, it's pretty cool to get acknowledgement from Zlatan.
From Zlatan. Chiquis doesn't like pochos.
Oh.
Even though he himself is one. There's pocho hatred. I see that.
I got good reasoning though. I got facts to back up my my data. My take. So
no, I mean
pocho,
you do...
When has the pocho done anything? When has the pocho done anything? They come up and you know the all the Mexican Americans they like to hype their own.
Well, you know, soccer wise
nothing pans out.
I'm trying to think of one. Damn.
No, but you gotta check out this one take. I think we talked about it. It's an incredible take by the president of Pancho Villa's army, or Pocho Villa's army.
Oh snap! See, this is why we don't get invited to things on Twitter. We're just too mean.
Yeah.
we'll check. That is true. That is true. I mean, I just call it like I see it. But check this out, like. Okay, so he said, and you guys can say what you want to think about this, but he said that the future of Mexico, the future of Mexican stars, like the next Chicharito, the next like high-level Mexican star, is not going to be Mexican-born. It's going to be a Mexican-American. The next star for the Mexican national team is going to be a Mexican-American. Now, I have no idea where he gets that from, because...
Well, I mean, the number of players
in the U.S. aren't... There aren't even a majority number of players, but like the person who's going to have the most skill and the most, who's going to be the star for the Mexican national team is going to be a Mexican American. How in the world is that ever going to be possible?
But I mean, I think there's bound to be one. You know, there's bound to be one. Just like in boxing, you had Oscar De La Hoya. You know, if you would have said in boxing, oh, the next big Mexican boxer is gonna be Mexican American, and they would be like, yeah, I don't buy it. And this dude comes out of nowhere, and
I don't buy it either.
He was dominant for years. Oh, Andy Ruiz came out too, and he won the heavyweight.
Boxing is a popular sport. Boxing is a huge sport in the United States. Soccer is not.
It is. It's not as mainstream, but it is popular, man. It's just not as ingrained as some of the other sports, but it is popular, dude. I mean,
not just the boxing. Number of.
No, it's more popular. I mean, that. Not come on, Cheekies.
Not compared to boxing. Boxing is a Mexican sport, huge in Mexico. And huge in the United States. You see Mike Tyson, you see Muhammad Ali. You know, you don't see Pele in the United States national team. You don't see Maradona in the United States national team, but you do see Mike Tyson, the greatest heavyweight of all time in boxing in the United States. You do see Muhammad Ali in the United States. You do see all these other, you know, boxers who fought, you know, boxers in the United States, even from like other countries like Mayorga or Duran and all these guys.
Yeah.
Boxing is totally different.
That's the problem is because, look, in order to say that, oh, the best talent's going to come from America needs to raise its level of competitiveness. You know what I mean?
There, that's it.
So it's like, you can't really be saying that because, okay, I mean, can you even name like, I guess Pulisic would be a good example of like the last like world-class player that the United States themselves have produced. So to say that a Mexican player, a Pocho, is going to come out of here, it's like, why would they come out of here? We don't even have
just
that.
They're it's not a even, numbers game, you know?
It is a numbers game,
you're
but...
You're about to have... Because the number, the amount of Pochos that live here, that play football, and then with all these teams opening up, so there's more chances...
But
so I do think there's bound to be one, dude. You're just gonna.
I will say this, that like I think LAFC has done probably the only thing I'll commend them for is like they have a really good youth academy, and I'm sure they're bringing in a lot of Latinos into that academy. And who knows? Yeah, there might be a Mexican American kid that might come out, but they'll always be the best. Like Pocho in the MLS, you know what I mean? There's gonna be a ceiling. It's not gonna be world class, you know. He's not gonna be like the next Carlos Vela, okay?
Oh, you never know, man. See, that's the thing. You never know.
The only way that's possible is if I impregnate someone and 9 months later I have a kid. That is the only way that's gonna happen, bro. Okay.
you never know when you go to Las Vegas and you. You play the slots. You never know you're gonna win $1 million, man.
I will. I will try and.
When
find
you say Las Vegas, I thought you meant because CR7 when he went to Las Vegas. But
he
according to the reports, there's no possibility that he went for the wrong hole. So if we'd have left Offspring, then that would. But then that wouldn't count as a Pocho either. So that's.
Well, Jaime brings up an interesting point. Like, if you take the U.S. national, like the best American players, like not just the Mexican American, well, you can include Mexican Americans, but the best American players, the best Mexican American players that, you know, that are on the U.S. national team, would they break the starting lineup in the Mexican national team? Like, you could say Pulisic would, you could say, like, maybe some other guys would. But the majority probably wouldn't. So a Mexican American is like a small number of all those U.S. soccer players. So that's even less of a chance that one is going to stand out to even make the U.S. national team, much less than the Mexican national.
Yeah, I really can't name a seleccionado that is Pocho. You know what I mean? Moises Muñoz, I know his dad came to Redwood City but for a little time, but... I mean, I can't really think of too many Pochos that have played for La Selección.
No, there's been a few, but not a lot. But I wouldn't go as far as saying that the future, just because they would have to be a lot of active players, and we don't really see them or playing at a good level, and so we're not seeing that. But I do feel that there's bound to be one or two that are gonna pop up and are gonna be really good. I do think that's bound to happen.
Yeah. Moving on, I kind of just want to recap the rest of the jornadas before we get into the Super Clásico takes. Monterrey just finished up with Pachuca. They were on the road. They were winning 1-0, but then Pachuca scored. So they tied 1-1, and that will rearrange the league table, which I'll pull up right now. I think with that result, it would be Pachuca in fifth place with 15 points, Chivas in sixth place with 15 points, Monterrey in seventh with 14, Tigres with 14. So that's your top eight right there. Yeah, I don't know if you guys caught any other action this week as far as like the games go. A lot of ties. Juarez beat Puebla 1-0. Atlas Mazatlan tied 1-1. Tigres beats Santos 2-0. America tied with Toluca 1-1. We talked about Pumas winning 3-0 against Atleti. Querétaro lost to León 3-2. And Cruz Azul beat Xolos 2-1. Bottom half of the table, it'll be Tijuana with 10 points, Santos with 9, Atleti with 8, and Necaxa with 8. Ouch.
Yeah, so top four qualified directly for the Liguilla. And then 5-12, I guess, is repechaje.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you mentioned, you know, the difference between 18th place and 12th place is 2 points. So, I mean, this could go on for the rest of the, you know, till the end of the last fixture. We still have that, you know, teams might still have a possibility of making Liguilla. One thing that I just found out, I didn't know that there are repercussions for ending in last place. You will have to pay a fine. So I think like the last two or three teams that they have to pay a fee. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but and then I'm not sure if they're still counting the points. I'm guessing they are, because I know the relegation will return, right? It's only suspended for what, like 2 years?
I think so, yeah, I'm not sure.
So I mean, you still want to rack points so that when it does return, you're not at the bottom of the relegation table.
Yeah, I think like eventually, right now they're like coasting because, oh, you know, it's just, you know, it's the first semester, it's whatever, you know. But I think like it's going to come back to hurt some of these teams. I am curious to see how Liga MX handles that, because I'm still really confused with like how that works. But I did hear that like the team that's in last place does have to pay, I think, the team that ended up in first place in the second division. So there's that.
Sounds like Zach needs a new car.
Sounds like what?
Some executive needs a new car.
Oh.
So Toluca, I wanted to bring up Toluca because they had gotten washed pretty bad. And they had a big part of the cheering group, of their supporters group, I should say. You know, they were turning on the club and they had a meeting. I know Chepo was there. And they were saying that they were disappointed with players, that they felt a lot of those players weren't giving it their all. And they said he was like one of the leaders of the supporters, and he was of the Choriceros. And he's like, hey, man, I'd rather watch the Canteranos if these guys aren't going to go out. And I don't know, man, it seems the motivation worked because they pulled out a 1-1 draw from the Azteca.
Yeah, it looks like they managed to keep America at bay. However, they did give up 70% possession of the game, so they were probably just bunkering the whole game.
Yeah, but I mean, you're coming from a pretty bad loss, and then you're facing one of the strongest teams, and it's an away game. That's just like double, you know, the double pressure. And I think so to steal a point, and I do think this satisfied their fans at least for a while, you know. But it's good to see that this team's not just getting bounced around. I think I was expecting a bit more from Toluca.
They're gonna have a tough one. They're gonna play Santos, although I guess Santos aren't having the best season, but
no, they lost to Tigres. With Tigres been wishy-washy as well, and so Santos is what currently they're in 16th place.
Yeah, they're not doing so hot.
So I think it's pretty evenly matched, and if Toluca is playing at home, and I think this would be a good chance to a good match for them to get that W.
Yeah, going into Jornada 11, Necaxa will kick things off again with Puebla this time. And again...
Yeah, and Puebla, who they started pretty good.
They started great, and then they...
But, yeah, they lost against Juarez, which was... Yeah, it was away game for them, but it's one of those where teams you could steal points, but... They dropped points, and they're in Liguilla right now, but they're one of the teams that could get bounced out, you know, by Necaxa. So but yeah, Puebla's dropping. I don't think people were expecting much from Puebla, so let's see if they're able to bounce back.
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, Necaxa lost back-to-back games like. In similar situations, like in the last minute. So I think like they'll go into this game against Puebla with like a lot of anger and frustration and, you know, and try and get this win. And that victory would, you know, leapfrog them past Puebla. So I think that's a pretty big game for Necaxa. As far as Tijuana and Juarez go, another similar situation where you have like a bottom feeder club. Tijuana is currently in 15th position. Juarez is in 9th. So a victory would again leapfrog them toe to toe with them. So these are some big opportunities for these, you know, these clubs that are in last place to catapult themselves back into action. Mazatlan plays Cruz Azul. I think we can all expect Cruz Azul to win this one. What do you think, Joel?
And, well, are they at home?
Yeah, Mazatlan will be hosting Cruz Azul on Friday at 7:30 p.m.
So this would be Cruz Azul's second road game. Mazatlan's been pretty scrappy lately, and they have, because they took a point from Atlas. And I think they could get the draw, man. I think Cruz Azul is... They did lose to Atlas on the road.
Yeah, they did. But I mean, we'll see.
Yeah,
I know that if you're Cruz Azul, you're kind of pissed off that you're tying in points with Puma. So compared to what Pumas have ahead of them, I think Cruz Azul will want to win this game and put the pressure on Pumas.
To me, it's just, I think, Siboldi, I still think he's playing his cards right. So even if they do draw, I don't see Cruz Azul as being in any problems or any such thing. It's just sometimes it's just how these games happen. But yeah, Cruz Azul would be favorites, but Mazatlan's proven to be a bit scrappy there, man. They're not.
All right, Atlas. They will coming off of a 1-1 draw with Mazatlan. They're playing Pachuca, who, again, just tied right now with Monterrey. They play at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Not really sure where to go. This is one of those games that can go either way. Atlas are currently in 13th position. Pachuca's in fifth. So I think, although they're being on the road, I think Pachuca would probably be considered the favorites in this one. Yeah, they're in 13th position, so they're just right on the cusp, right on the bubble of potential Liguilla or repechaje. Tigres play Querétaro. That's kind of an interesting battle there. What happened to Querétaro, man? I thought they were doing good.
Yeah, it's those teams that go on a you know, a handful of good games, and then they just fall apart. But I mean, they lost to León. But León has not only is, but they have been one of the stronger teams or more consistent teams. And so they lost 3-2. Not that bad. But I think Querétaro, I mean, they just haven't had money. It's a big reason why Buse, who, you know, he was going to return to them. I think it was even being announced. And then he couldn't come to an agreement, you know. I guess he needed that bonus money. And so he ended up at Chivas. But I think that's one of the things with Gallo sometimes. You just don't have that cash to bring in some better players.
Yeah.
They got stripped by Cholos. Also.
They did. Yeah. They took some of their best players too. Marcel Ruiz. Really good.
Yeah.
Bright kid. He went to Cholos in that, what was it, like a change of ownership or something? They sold like the team or something. I don't know. But
yeah, they also lost
they lost players, and then two Cholos was doing worse than them. That's just ouch.
Before we get into the big game of the week, let me finish off the rest of the jornadas. Toluca will play Santos. We kind of talked about that already.
Yeah.
Atlético San Luis against Rayados. I at this point, you know, any team that plays against Atleti, I'm going to give the other team the chance. Rayados, they're that team, man. They got the players, they got the coach. You know, it's just when they want to turn it on, they turn it on.
Well, and this is they're tied in points, 8 points. But Atlético San Luis has goal differential -7, and Necaxa -9.
No,
goals four.
Rayados.
Oh,
Monterrey.
I thought you said Rayos. My bad.
No, Monterrey. Yeah, they're in seventh position with 14. Yeah, so.
And it's going to be a home game.
For
Monterrey, right?
No, for Atlético. Yeah, they're going to be in San Luis.
So wait, this will be the second road game for Monterrey?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, that does happen.
They have a pretty...
I think for the fans, sometimes you need to take some of the stuff in consideration too, sometimes how...
Road?
If you're playing... Yeah, you play two road games, and then sometimes the coach will switch things up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, for different reasons. They're not going to tell you outright, because that's like basically handing out to your rivals, showing them your, you know... You just kind of give away your plan. So, but they always do have reasons for that. And so when they play games like that, they usually become a bit more conservative.
Yeah.
Just because it's better to steal some points than to just, you know, get two defeats or whatnot.
Yeah.
If you could, like...
You can't implement your own game when you're on the road, or at least... You know, most of the time you can't, but Atletico is one of those teams right now that, you know, they're kind of just getting ragdolled, and I would not be surprised if Monterrey gets a victory on the road. And then on Monday, exactly a week from now, the Cat Fight León versus Pumas. Cheekies, you've been a little bit conservative and reserved. It seems like you're not entirely convinced that Pumas could beat Leon. What are your thoughts? Do you think the streak ends here, or they're gonna drag it out?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if they do. If they do get a good result, but then again, I won't be surprised if they don't. So it's more like, they could do very well. So they've beaten, like, they've impressed against a bigger club. Like they had success. Now I don't know if this is saying much, but last season they had success. I think they beat Chivas at home. America they tied. So they're used to playing against the bigger clubs. So
yeah, I'm trying to pull up the last head to head result that you guys had with them. It looks like you guys lost 3-1. Actually, I could be wrong because that was in February of 2019. So, but then again, they did cancel the season. So, I think being on the road is going to be tough. Oh, okay. It looks like the last time you guys faced each other was October of 2019. It was you guys lost 2-1. Yeah.
Well, there's one thing right here, Chinkies. Pumas has been scoring more goals. They have 20 to Leon's 12.
Wow.
See, they don't have JJ Mac. They don't got the Mac attack, so you could be more confident, you know?
At the same time, they've also not allowed that many goals with only 7 in 10 games. The best defensive record alongside Cruz Azul, so... Definitely. I honestly.
But you know, Pumas only 8, so yeah. It's just by one goal. So I mean, I would, you know, I would see Leon as favorites, but now I'm seeing some of these stats, man. I think Pumas should be considered the favorites going into this match.
Oh, All right. I think it's gonna be a draw. I think it's gonna be a pretty exciting game. Maybe a 2-2 draw. Because Leon is at home, so you do have to consider that. And I guess in the recent head-to-heads, Leon has had the advantage. But it should be a really, really good game. Still isn't going to be the game to watch this weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, the Super Clásico on Saturday. Oh, boy. Is there fire in this one, or is it kind of just, you know, because there's no fans or anything?
I haven't seen fire in a Super Clásico in a long time, man. Yeah. It just, you lack those players that ignite that fire, you know, like when they had Cuauhtémoc and what Chivas had Bofo and you always have Osvaldo. These type of players that they bring it. They start talking shit.
Yeah.
Or they'll make, and also, hey, missing Vergara, man. Vergara used to like to fan the flames. That's he was right. Really good at that. I haven't heard Junior say anything. At least a tweet, man. You throw some shade there, man. Just get the fans going. I haven't had that feel for a long time now. Just because I think a big part was been Chivas just Zapagó, you know, for what was it, like 2018 maybe? So at least the last 2 years where it just hasn't been that heated. But that's the thing with Clásicos, man.
You can always ignite the flame. You know what I mean? All it takes. All it takes is one action, you know?
Really kindle it.
Yeah. I will say this. The reason why I say this is the game to watch this weekend, it's not because, I'm a Chivas fan. It's because of the fact that the last time these two faced off was in the Copa por Mexico, and it was a very entertaining game. It ended up being 4-3 in favor of Chivas. It was 1-1. It was 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, 4-2, 4-3, and this all happened like back-to-back-to-back. You know, this was...
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for this because going off of the numbers, we talked about it a little bit on the last podcast, America is... one of the highest scoring teams. In fact, they are the most offensive team with 21 goals in favor. And on the flip side, they're also one of the teams that have conceded a lot of goals with 15. So you're just guaranteed to have action. Now, Chivas go into this having half, meaning only 10 goals in favor and 8 against. So a very conservative and very, like, I don't know, apagado Chivas, but I think it takes these kind of games for them to kind of come out flying and scoring a lot of goals, and then this could be the deciding factor for the season.
But I think, and one thing to keep in mind from that Copa por Mexico preseason match is that was under Tena.
It was.
And now the match is under Ruse, so I don't know if we could expect the same type of game, just two different coaches. And I think something that hurt Chivas offensively, those first three games, you know, where the team just kind of fell apart and they didn't score a single goal, which was a record for that, one of the worst starts ever, you know, for the team. And then we had the discipline problems with Alexis Vega and
Antuna, yeah.
And so two of the other strikers, and then trophies that just can't get it together, man.
He's having gas problems, okay?
A slump. So Chivas attack been like, if it's not one thing, it's the others. I guess it's been kind of frustrating that.
Yeah.
It's some of it's like not even on the field. It's off the field shenanigans. So I think if Vuce can and Peláez too, because we have to hold him accountable. If they could whip these guys into shape, Chivas should have a pretty good attack, you know, at least better than what it is right now.
Yeah. The reason why I said it's the deciding factor of the season is because you win this game and you're riding high. You know what I mean? You're going to go into the last six games of the season super confident, and just, especially if it's a very convincing result, you know, if it's like a crazy, I don't know, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0 victory for Chivas, oh man, we're gunning for the championship. But then also for America too, you know, they've had that drama with Piojo. If they lose and they lose embarrassingly, I mean, this could be the beginning of Piojo's end. So a lot of things can happen after result for both teams. You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, Piojo's been getting a lot of flack, but I mean, he has a team in fourth, man, and as you said, most offensive, and he's still getting attacked. I think Americanistas don't appreciate what they have, so it'll be interesting if he does eventually get sacked. I know he will find work very easy, man, because his numbers in league are very impressive.
Yeah. America have everything in their favor. They're going to be at home. Again, they have the most offensive team in the league. And they have a good coach. So, I mean, if you're an America fan, this is you can't lose this game.
I thought, like, when Gio joined them, that was going to be one of the players that was going to give us some headaches. And by us, I mean Chivistas, but he's like America's version of trophies, man.
I mean, it also doesn't help if you're missing half your thigh because somebody slide tackled you. You know, I'm sure
they ridden house his thigh.
I wonder if Pollo Briseño has if Gio has a restraining order against him, because that was...
Oh, I forgot about that. See, that's the smack talk, man. That's
what I'm saying, like, bro. Hey,
watch yourself. I'm coming for that other.
That's what I'm saying, bro. If I'm Pollo, I'm making a TikTok video like, yo, I'm coming out for your other leg, bro. You know, gotta make a match.
Dude, I forgot this dude missing a chunk. I haven't seen it since that kid blew that dude's bicep off. So it's I haven't seen that. Yeah, that brutal. But goddamn, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, not to mention, and I don't even know if that's affected him. I was seeing an article recently saying how he's not worth less than when he was at Barcelona B. So his stock has dropped. Yeah, his stock has dropped pretty low.
That is bad. Yeah, definitely the match to watch this weekend. And there's definitely going to be a lot of fireworks. Probably going to be some controversial shit. Not, you know, for some reason with Chivas games, it seems like red cards are a thing. So definitely keep your eye out on the referee. And, you know, if someone is playing a man down for half the game, I would not be surprised. But my prediction is it's going to be, I'm going to say it's going to be another 4-3 for Chivas. I think it's going to go down the same way. I think it's going to go down the same way that Copa por México did. I think that both teams have holes. Chivas are very, very dangerous on the counterattack. I think América will try to hold possession. And we have a very shaky goalkeeper. So that's why I'm like, all right, I can see América scoring 3 on us. But I can also see, you know, Chivas scoring 4 on América because, you know, their defense isn't that great and Ochoa hasn't been great either. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm most excited for these games. I'd see it as a more close match, 1-0 or 2-1 either side. I just think Bruce is not gonna wanna risk a big defeat or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean we'll see what happens. The thing is though, for a Clásico, you have to show up. You know what I mean? You can't be bunkering. You can't be like, oh, let's go for the draw. No, it's a Clásico, man. It's literally like fight or die. You know what I mean? So like if Vucic comes out with some bullshit, you best believe the fans are going to be unhappy. Especially because we have the tools. If it was any other season, I would understand. But yo, we got Antuna, Vega, Macias. It's like, yo, these are players that are fire. Okay, there's no way we're going to come out here conservative going for the draw, man. You go for the juggler.
I mean, they still want to win. I just don't think they're going to... It's going to be that open. I just don't... I think Chivas is on a pretty good run. And I think he's going to want to keep... You know, if you get a draw, that's good. But I think he's gonna try to challenge to finish as high as possible. So even 6 right now, it'll be good. Because when's the last time we saw Chivas finish 6? You know, we've had these bottom of the table finishes.
Yeah.
So anything above 8th would look good for Chivas. But I think they're gunning for like 5th or 6th, where it's like it's pretty possible. You know. And why not? Maybe 4th, but I think 5th or 6th would just be a really good season for Chivas. Just breaking that mold of what we've seen since Matias last 2 seasons, because he finished 17th, 15th, and then under Cardoso Moy, we were like 14th or whatever. Just real bottom of the table. So I do think that's one of the objectives, to finish as high as possible. So that's to me where it's like I could understand why, if you know, that's why it's important. You don't want those goals against, you know, like when if you finish draw with points, but then at the end of the season and then you go to goal differential, that's where you wanna, you know, you wanna have the advantage. So that's why I don't think Vuce and even Pelias and them will be like, you know, just try to get the points. No need. Because I'm taking into account Chivas' situation, you know. It's been one that hasn't been good. So that's why it's like, I just can't afford right now to go into them just, you know, swinging out, man, and you know, and if we got knocked out, it don't matter, because it does matter.
Yeah, I've been actually looking at the statistics as far as the home field. It seems like Chivas do better in El Azteca, because their home record against América in El Akron is trash. So Like it's pretty.
Chivas home record in Akron, pretty much bad. Against
the other Chivas yeah, in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In 10, in like the 10 matches that they've had in El Akron, they've only won 2 and they've lost like the rest of them and only had 2 draws. So yeah, their home record against American and El Akron, it's bad. But in El Azteca, it's much better. And in my opinion, some of the best Clásicos have happened in El Azteca. But those were like the Bravo days and Venado days. So, but you know, I think it's definitely entertaining. It's gonna be a good one. Chiquis has been quiet. I don't know if he has any opinions about the.
He's either playing Fortnite or he's he's watching Chicharito on Twitch play Warzone. I know that's what Chiquis is doing.
I think he's been injured, so he hasn't been playing. Chicharito. So that's why he's been streaming more.
He returned against they played against San Jose. At San Jose, and they it was a 0-0 draw.
Oh, okay.
Finally Mati could rest because I think he was coming from like 3 defeats or something like that.
7-1.
Yeah, 7-1 the game previous, and that would have been horrifying if they get washed at home. I think at that point, you know, the fans would have turned on him, but
yeah,
he got a good result, I would say. Given the situation of that team. But that's, hey, and that's Mati, and I know I'm becoming, I don't want to be the Morales of Cantina, where I'm always talking smack about Mati, but he was never good at Clásicos, man.
Oh, yeah.
And not even in Argentina. You could, and when I say Argentina, I mean first division, man. People want to bring up his 2 second division campeonatos. It's like, yeah, I don't care about that, dude. if my team's in second, then yeah, okay, bring it. But we're just talking Primera, and he would.
Well, I remember
with
the
Banfield. He lost his 2 clásicos when he was at Banfield, and at Chivas and the clásicos for Liguilla.
We got couldn't win. Eliminated twice, man. 2 years in a
That's
row.
That's 4 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 4 games. He didn't win anyone. He didn't win them.
Yeah.
But I mean, he did come up big time the year of the doblete. So I mean,
yeah. It evens out. That's
why he's praised so highly. But if you do the stats of all the it doesn't start looking so good.
Mhm.
He came out spicy recently in an interview. He came out He came out defending and sort of criticizing, making some arguments that didn't really make sense. But
I think I saw someone try to translate what he was saying, but it may have been lost in translation.
Tom Marshall did. Tom Marshall did.
about the defending or how he defends or his tactics and it came off like very defensive and like.
Yeah, he said he wouldn't make fun of a reporter. Asking a bad question. So why are reporters? So why are reporters like criticizing him for making bad coaching decisions and things like that, like tactics and stuff?
Let me see if I can find the quote. But yeah, you know, I don't know, man. He should never shave his head. It's probably his problem. The magic was lost when he got rid of the locks.
Yeah, his golden locks. Oh man.
That was part of his charm, you know. Now when he's bald, he looks ugly.
He lost his powers like Samson, man.
Oh wow. There's quite a thread. For those who don't know our trajectory, we have won 7 titles playing in a similar way. Constructive criticism is good. Destructive criticism without knowing how or what we train. Is lying to people. Wow.
Yeah, he's defensive. He's
damn, this is like a freaking essay that Tom Marshall did. That's pretty long. I won't go into the whole thing, but it's funny because
7 titles, so he's adding the 5 Chiva one and then the 2 his 2 second division one, huh? because that's the only campeonatos he has in Argentina, the two, the second division with River and Banfield, and then the five he won. So he's saying he's won seven. I guess that's what he's alluding to, you know? Alluding, and not alluding.
Somewhat similar situation. Biesla had his first Premier League game against Liverpool. Leeds unfortunately lost 4-3, but it was a pretty entertaining game. Oh, wow. Yeah.
I missed it, man.
They kept matching them, you know? They were down one, they would tie down again, they would tie again. But the reason I bring it up is because at the end, he was getting interviewed, and he doesn't speak English, so he has translator. And his translator was actually doing a pretty good job, because I guess Biesla is very, very, very obsessed with, like, don't just translate what I say, make sure you say it how I say it. And I guess the guy translating for him was like being soft spoken. He wasn't really speaking. He's like, "Ahora, Recio," you know. He was like, "Say it with your chest," you know. He was scolding the translator. I thought it was really funny, dude. That's why they call me loco.
Oh yeah,
sweating, man. He was sweating trying to translate that dude.
Imagine the pressure you must have, you know, because you know. You're in the Premier League, you know, so you're not just like telling your supporters, you're also like, you know, talking to the entire league. So
no, and then that's the thing. Bielsa can be very eloquent, man. So it just makes it even that much more difficult if you're translating. This dude might throw in a word there that it's gonna, you know, like, oh snap. So yeah, that guy is doing a good job. But he's obviously still intimidated by the madman.
Yeah. So that pretty much wraps up tonight's episode. We covered Jornada 10, talked about our predictions for Jornada 11.
Chiquis didn't give his prediction for the Clásico.
I'm still going by sort of what I said last time. I think América is going to take it by 2 goals or something. Might be a high-scoring game. Take it by 1 goal, maybe 3-2 or something.
We'll see if the undefeated streak for Pumas continues when they play León. And also, we will be getting closer to Selección talk at the end of the month when they have their friendly against Costa Rica. Is there anything you guys want to end off with, or anything you wanted to mention before we end this?
Nah, I've pretty much said it all.
I'm just wishing
some luck to my Chivas, and just letting my Chi hermanos know the team loses, not the end of the world, man. Don't lose focus of the, you know, that this team has sucked pretty hard for the last, 3 years, you know, so. Or the focus should be finish as high as you can in the table.
Baby steps.
Get into Liguilla. Get into the Liguilla finally. Try to win a game there, and we go from there, man. But to have these high expectations we just can't. And especially if you look at Chivas and how they've been for not even the past 10 years, like the past 40 years. Very inconsistent. So I don't know where people pull off this, you know, these ideas that the team should always be there when they haven't. I don't know, man.
They went and got all these good players, though, man.
Yeah, but a lot of them are still young, you know. They're still young. They're still getting there, like Antuna, and they're still young guys. So we'll see. I mean, this is like a team built, like, in another year should be firing on all cylinders. But right now, with our even another just keeps getting different coaches, man. We need to have the same guy at least 2 years there.
Oh, but did we talk trophies having gastritis or something?
He mentioned it.
I mentioned it, but I don't know if have more information about
his
gas problems.
Was his, like, locker, like the way was Cardoso when he did that interview and he had all those snacks? Yes. Because gastritis is, like, from eating bad. You know, unless he had chorro, and it's, like, that's one of the COVID that's one of the COVID symptoms, you fever and chorro, and so but I don't think it was that. I just think this guy's not going 100 for whatever reason.
Maybe his liver's gone or something.
I don't think he's like a drunk. I don't think he's like getting drunk. Like, I mean, I don't think he's like, what's his name? Guli.
Guli.
Yeah, I don't think he's Guli, I don't think he's got that bad of a problem.
But he was overweight, so maybe he's just hitting the, you know.
It's the COVID 20, man. Travis,
the COVID 20. What is that McDonald's meal? That's like the Travis Scott. So you got the trophies. Burger King special or whatever,
oh,
you know.
Oh my gosh.
And you get the Big Mac and not the Big Mac, it was the what is the Burger King?
The Whopper.
The Whopper.
And then you still get the tacos. You get the crown.
Wait, what? You get the all right, let's make the trophy special for BK.
For BK.
You get a crown.
You get some tacos.
You get a Whopper with two tacos, curly fries. A big soda and like a sundae or something. It's like a meal fit for a king.
Well, everyone, thanks for hopping on, and for all the listeners that will be listening to this after, thanks for listening. Make sure to reach out to us, leave us a voicemail on Anchor. We definitely want to listen to our listeners and see if there's something that we said that you want to touch on. But hope everyone has a great night.